Good morning. Todd Zwillick here, filling in for John Hockenberry for a couple of more days, and Celeste is here with me. President Obama unveiled his health care proposal yesterday. It's about 11 pages long, and if you were looking for a drastically different health care bill than the one that's faltered so far in Congress, this isn't it. The president has apparently ignored calls from Republicans to scrap his bill completely and start over with a blank sheet of paper. But nevertheless, he is trying to reset the debate. So to find out exactly what's in the proposal and what the president is trying to do, we're joined by Trudy Lieberman, contributing editor to the Columbia Journalism Review, and Mary Agnes Carey, senior correspondent for Kaiser Health News, is back with us as well. Trudy, I want to start with you. What are the major parts of this proposal? What's in it that we haven't seen before already knocking around Congress?
Well, we have seen penalties for people who don't buy insurance, and they've been reduced somewhat in this bill, which of course raises the question whether people will take these lower penalties now, $325 for the first year the law is in effect, and or will they buy insurance at some price, and we don't know what the price is. The other thing that is new, which Mary Agnes alluded to a little bit ago, is this insurance oversight on the federal level. This plan by the president would set up this federal authority, which would take a look at some of these rate increases that insurance companies have been proposing and decide whether or not they are exorbitant and whether or not they should be reduced. It's not clear exactly how this is going to fit in with some of the state regulation, but there would be this other layer of oversight, and hopefully or perhaps jawbone the insurance companies into reducing the rates if there was no strong regulatory authority in the law. The excise tax has been tweaked a little bit.
Now you're talking about high-cost plans,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, we're talking about the Cadillac, so-called Cadillac plans, the benefit, the plans that have richer benefits. These would now, the tax would now fall on union plans as well as non-union plans, and go into effect sometime after 2018. This is a little bit different than what was in the first bill, which was, basically it was an agreement not to tax the union negotiated plans for some period of time. So there's a little bit more equity here. Those plans are still somewhat problematic from the consumer standpoint, because if benefits are eventually reduced, as many experts think they will be, what does this do in terms of letting people go underinsured, which has been a big problem and has certainly been talked about a lot during this debate? So we really don't know what effect that will have either on saving money in the long run or in what people will have in coverage. We just know that it will happen and eventually affect about one quarter of the plan.
Well, let me ask Mary Agnes Carey of Kaiser Health News about this. Mary Agnes, what Trudy Lieberman is describing is a lot of tweaks, apart from this new sort of federal crackdown on insurance companies raising their rates. Why, after the health care bill essentially stalling, if not failing, in Congress, would the president more or less retread proposals that the public seems to have said they don't like? Or is that what he's doing?
Well, the president has made, I believe, and his advisors have made a political calculation that their best interest is to push for the biggest bill now, and that voters will punish them not only at the midterm elections but in subsequent elections if Democrats don't deliver on the big package. It's a risk. It's a gamble. But he's made this a top priority. He ran for it for the presidency, ran on this issue. A lot of members of Congress were elected on this issue. And he feels that he's, I think, going to use his political capital and push Democrats who might be reluctant to now embrace this to do so. And it's a decision that they've made.
So that this new proposal seems to be about getting Democrats in lockstep, not so much winning over Republicans, I guess. And I want to ask you about some numbers that are out there, Mary Agnes, because there's something that's really interesting. And some of the interesting polling numbers come from the Kaiser Family Foundation, where you work. Just by way of example, closing the Medicare prescription donut hole, a gap in Medicare coverage, that's in the bill. And according to polling, 68% of the public wants that. Ending discrimination against Americans with pre-existing conditions. According to the Washington Post ABC poll, 80% of Americans want that. Incredibly popular. And yet the bill that the president is proposing is essentially unpopular. Why is that?
Well, I think that it's viewed, a lot of the Republican talking points have gotten through to people. For example, you mentioned some of this Kaiser Family Foundation polling. There's actually a new health tracking poll out today, for example, right? To your point, When asked, do you support health care reform? It split 43% for, 43% opposed, and the rest of the folks undecided. I think there's a lot of messages Republicans put out about the bill. It's going to be a government takeover. It's going to raise your health care costs. It's going to decimate the Medicare program. A lot of those messages have prevailed, but when they get into asking people about specific provisions, just as you noted, many polls show that people accept these provisions and want them and support them. So that's going to be the war for the White House and for Democrats that want to vote for this bill. How do you get that message to the public, and how do you get the public support behind this bill?
And Trudy, that would be my question to you. If Mary, if we are correct in saying that the provisions themselves are popular, but health care reform is not, the bill itself is not, how can you then reset when you're not truly resetting?
Well, the problem has been, and we've observed this on CJR.org basically for the last 2 years, that what's in these bills, what the goal was, has not been effectively communicated to people by the White House or most other politicians as well. We've dealt a lot in slogans, affordable quality health care on the Democratic side, government-run health care on the Republican side. You can keep what you have if you have insurance from the White House. So I think what is in the bill, what it's been trying to do, has not been communicated effectively. And I went out and did my own little man-on-the-street interviews in New York on Saturday and found, indeed, the people I sampled in my very small scientific sample, that they are split and they do not understand what's in the bill. And if they have insurance, they say, well, it's not going to affect me. So I think the goals of reform, which have changed in the White House's mind, have not been effectively communicated. We first started out with universal coverage and now are ending up with insurance reform and deficit reduction. And so you can see this progression of shift in what health reform was supposed to do. Well, I would argue that the people have seen through that.
Well, Trudy, the White House has a challenge. As you say in your straw poll, people are split. Nationally, they seem to be split. And if the president is resetting, we'll see if he can reset with the public and with his own Democrats. Trudy Lieberman is contributing editor to the Columbia Journalism Review and a healthcare specialist. Mary Agnes Carey, of course, senior correspondent for Kaiser Health News. Thank you both for joining us.
Thank you.
You come to the New Yorker Radio Hour for conversations that go deeper with people you really want to hear from, whether it's Bruce Springsteen or Questlove or Olivia Rodrigo, Liz Cheney, or the godfather of artificial intelligence, Geoffrey Hinton, or some of my extraordinarily well-informed colleagues at The New Yorker. So join us every week on the New Yorker Radio Hour, wherever you listen to podcasts.